Well, first, how has the COVID-19 outbreak impacted on cancer patients and those who may have the disease but cannot be diagnosed at the moment? Since lockdown began 4 weeks ago, many patients' cancer treatment regimes have been changed in order to minimise their time in or at hospital. Screening programs have been halted, meaning those who may have cancer cannot have it detected. And once the country moves to alert level 3 next week, some cancer screening will be able to restart. But colonoscopy procedures to diagnose bowel cancer remain on hold. The chief executive of the Cancer Control Agency is Professor Diana Sarfati. Diana, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
This is a particularly vulnerable group in a situation like a pandemic. And what has the impact been on existing oncology patients so far?
There's actually been an extraordinary pulling together of the sector, doctors and nurses and, you know, psychologists and all sorts of other professionals to continue to provide care for cancer patients who need it. So cancer centres who have been providing chemotherapy and radiation therapy, for example, have continued to provide that care throughout the level 4 lockdown. Also, non-deferrable diagnostic and surgical care has also continued throughout that period. And so, and as we go on from here, more services will be able to increasingly provide care closer to normal, but while at the same time keeping an eye on the, you know, the COVID situation, so keeping both staff and patients safe.
All right, what more might be able to happen under level 3, Diana?
Well, those needing chemotherapy and radiotherapy will continue to receive it, and all the urgent and non-deferrable surgery will also continue. And DHBs are really planning to increasingly open up their diagnostic and surgical services. So we'd expect to see more of those services happening. And they're looking also at sort of new and innovative ways of delivering care. So sometimes patients might find that the care that they're receiving is a little bit different to what they're used to. For example, outpatient appointments might be being made by, you know, phone or internet, for example. So there's a lot of planning going on in the space, and, you know, we're expecting to see care rolling out as we move through this process.
Can we be specific about what is and isn't able to happen at present in terms of treatment and how that might change at all next week?
Okay, so let me just explain first that the hospitals are working according to their own response framework. So their framework, which has also got four levels in it, is based on both the local impact of the COVID pandemic itself and the impact on the particular DHB. So they're working according to those levels. And so the fact that the rest of the population is going to a level 3 within the, you know, the general population has less impact on the hospital services and the rest of the population. They will continue to provide care. They are a critical service, obviously. And so we would just expect as we're recovering, or we're in a situation where we've got fewer COVID cases and a low level of community spread, that we might be able to see more services becoming available.
Some treatment regimes have been changed, however. Have some been shortened? Have there been fewer visits to hospital, for example?
Most chemotherapy and radiotherapy have continued. There has been some changes. So, for example, where there's been treatment where it can safely be deferred, and where that treatment, for example, would have a really negative impact on a patient's immune system, that treatment has been deferred because the risks of, you know, impacting someone's immune system during the COVID pandemic is higher. So there has been some changes, but mostly chemotherapy and radiotherapy has continued.
What about support people? Most hospitals have said no to visitors and only allow one for terminally ill patients. Has that been the situation, Diana?
Yeah, it's very difficult for people who are either being treated for cancers, particularly at end of life, and I think it's one of the most difficult things. And so there's been that ongoing balance between, on one hand, providing the support for patients that need it, and on the other hand, keeping both patients and staff safe. And so that's been a really difficult balance to get. And, you know, I think everyone would acknowledge how incredibly difficult it has been for people at end of life and their families.
Is there any room for that to change at level three?
There is work going on in Ministry of Health and DHBs looking at the policies around visitors, and so there is a really high awareness of how important that is, and so I think that going forward we will be looking at how we can make sure that people get the support that they need.
What about transport to and from treatment? A number of district health boards have cancelled their patient transfer service. And many Cancer Society volunteer drivers are over the age of 70 and have had to withdraw. What's the situation at the moment for patients who do have a hospital appointment?
Yeah, so this has been really front and centre on mine as well. Patients who have to travel do often need assistance with travel and or accommodation. So we have been working with providers to make sure that happens. So there has been alternative providers that have stepped forward. As you say, volunteer drivers are often over 70, so they were largely stood down. And so looking at other options, and for example, St John's has been providing a lot of driving services, but also other organisations have really stepped up. So you use the example of the Cancer Society. For example, the Cancer Society run lodge in the Waikato, which normally provides weekday service, is now providing accommodation 24/7 for patients that need that in that region.
Another matter to consider, of course, is what patients and their families can do to keep safe during treatment. And have there been a lot of questions about that? And what answers can you provide?
Yeah, well, we have been putting out key messages for people with cancer or their families. And really the three key messages are, where possible, stay at home, stay in your bubble, it's the safest place to be. The second one is, don't stop taking your cancer medicine without talking to your doctor. And the third, though, is if you are sick, please do contact your GP or your primary care provider, your cancer doctor. If you're unwell, the hospital is still the safest place for you to be. So those are really the three key things.
What about cancer screening? Bowel Cancer New Zealand concerned that colonoscopy procedures are not allowed to take place, meaning people with bowel cancer would not be picked up.
Yeah, so breast and cervical screening will be restarting. Bowel screening is a bit more complicated because, as you say, we've got to make sure that the colonoscopy services are up and running. So the DHB and Ministry of Health are working together to make sure all those parts of the screening services are working well, so that includes colonoscopy services, in order to provide safe screening. And I think it's fair to say that we'd all like to see that screening program up and running as soon as possible, but it's really critical to make sure that screening process is safe, and that includes having access to colonoscopy procedures.
So they're not likely to resume under level three?
We're actually working with the ministry and clinical experts around the country to look at when and how colonoscopy services can be resumed, and we would expect to see resumption of those services quite soon.
Right. What about breast cancer screening? It looks like that can restart under alert level three.
Yeah, that's right. So that will be restarting.
All right. What about the cervical screening is the other one, of course. Again, can that resume as we move into level three next week?
That's right. That's also restarting,
Will there be backlogs given the delay in the screening services and just other situations, people presenting at their GPs with concerns as well? What do you see the backlogs being for people waiting for diagnosis?
Yeah, so I think a couple of points there. First of all, the DHBs, the ministry, certainly the agency and clinicians are all very aware of the issue of potential backlog of patients. So there's a huge amount of planning going on, both at the national level and the DHB level. And we're all clear that we're going to need to use all our available capacity and be quite innovative in our approach to making sure that patients get all the care that they need. The other thing I'd say is that doctors are keeping a very close eye on their waiting lists to ensure that those who need care now are getting prioritised to be seen now.
We're going to talk to the Private Hospitals Association in a moment. They cleared a lot of space. They moved away from elective surgery, cleared a lot of space in order to be on standby for a major outbreak in the pandemic. Are they part of any planning going forward for dealing with the likes of some of the backlog in these in cancer, for example?
Well, without question, the Ministry of Health is looking at all options at the moment, and they'll certainly be including the private hospitals in those discussions.
We've also seen a decline in the number of people seeing their GPs. Medical centres are struggling, in some cases laying off GPs due to dwindling patients and the funding model. We're going to talk about that a little later too. Is it a concern to you that people are not seeing their primary healthcare providers, people who potentially could have symptoms that need checking out?
Yeah, my strongest message there would be if you're unwell or if you have any symptoms that are concerning, please do see your GP. Your GPs are there for you, and it's really important to go and see them. So, yeah.
We mentioned the palliative care and the visitors. When will there be clarity, do you think, around any changes? And will that, for example, more people able to visit, will that be a national level decision?
There is a lot of national work going on to look at that issue. Again, there's a huge level of awareness of how difficult that time is for people, and there is a group of palliative care specialists who are looking at exactly that issue.
Going through cancer diagnosis or treatment, as you said, is incredibly stressful for anyone at any time, and now it is a very lonely experience and one with the added fears of a pandemic in the background. The Cancer Society tell us that they are fielding many more calls for help with COVID-related anxiety and mental health support, and that is almost the primary mental stress people have at the moment. What can the agency and the wider health sector do to support these patients?
Yeah, I mean, without question, being diagnosed or treated with cancer is incredibly stressful at the best of times, and the current situation is only going to exacerbate that. So we have been working with the sector to look at all the things that we might be able to do, and psychosocial support is being put in place. So, for example, there are social workers and psychologists that are available to talk to patients. The Cancer Society is doing a fantastic job, and we need to just keep making sure that we are providing the support to patients when they need it. The other thing I'd say is that cancer doctors and nurses are also working really hard to make sure that people are getting the support that they need.
Will there be a particular focus or a new program of psychosocial supports to be announced specifically out of this?
There is a whole lot of work, again, going on at various levels. So there's work going on at the national level, thinking about the psychosocial issues relating to the pandemic more generally. And then alongside that, the agency is working specifically on a piece of work, thinking about psychosocial issues specifically facing cancer patients, and particularly priority populations, Māori and Pacific patients, for example, who may be disproportionately impacted by barriers to care, transport barriers, for example, or accommodations, and making sure that we are clearly addressing their needs as well.
Again, is that being communicated? Is it at a point yet where it can be communicated?
Do you mean the plan itself?
Yes, and to the patients themselves. When can they expect?
So we're working on that plan at the moment, and it's being widely reviewed by all sorts of people in the sector. So both doctors and nurses, as well as providers who provide those sorts of services, to make sure we get some really clear actions in place, and we'll be sharing that as soon as we can.
Thank you again for your time. Diana Safaiti, who is the head of the Cancer Control Agency.